Blog Talk Radio.
Drum, please. All right, very good. Welcome to a great Memorial Day weekend. Hope everybody's having a great weekend, getting in the grilling and stuff. We're not really able to at this point. It's kind of raining pretty hard out there, so ours is down for a little bit, but I hope you're having a great weekend. And, you know, what a great time to start talking about happiness, because if there's one thing that you're going to have a lot of here in the very near future, is it's a lot of people telling you how in the world that you get to become happy taking advantage of their product, whether it's some beer or some trip or some car or some whatever, and bam, you're going to be happy when you have this thing. And the reason why that kind of advertising is so successful is simply because it works. It makes people come in and buy, and they get to this process. The process of their mind says, I will be happy when I have that car that goes that fast and it costs this much, or I have this kind of money, or whatever the case is. I'll be happy when I finish high school, when I finish college. I'll be happy when I buy my first car, when I buy my first house, when I get married, when I get divorced. I'll be happy when these things happen. And if it's one thing that you'll find out over a given period of time, is that just simply isn't true. And because you'll get that, and then you won't be happy. And or you'll be happier, or even worse, you'll think, really, this is what I worked so hard for? This is as good as it gets? And then you'll want something else, thinking, maybe you'll be happy when you get something even better. So I got this car with the V6, but I really need that car with the V8. Or my first marriage didn't work out. Maybe my second marriage will do it. And the reality is that kind of thinking really messes stuff up. It really hampers. It really kind of ties you down from being able to tap into the things that get you where you want to be. And when you really look back and think, or if you were to sit down and think right now, and this is part of the promise there in the description of today's show, was I'm going to make you think. If you really sat down, and by the way, I'm going to help you out with some of this stuff, because I'm going to give you some of the things that make me happy. And it's not some nebulous kind of garbage. It's not, you know, it's not flowery and fluffy. It's real important things. And the biggest thing to remember is, this is to help you out to think about things in a little different manner, and to think about things that actually will bring you a sense of long-term happiness, because it's an individual concept. But at the same time, understand it may be a big process to get to the things that make you happy, which is why you're not currently, because you're not really even sure. But at the same time, it's going to change over time. What makes you happy before you're a parent is different from what makes you happy after, because you see things differently. What happens, you know, what makes you happy when you're in your 20s is different than what makes you happy when you're in your 40s or your 50s or your 70s or your 80s. Yeah, you look at things just so dramatically different, and age tends to do that. Not just because you're a little wiser, but because as you get older, you just care about different things. Stuff is different, especially as you get closer to your own mortality. If you want to see a young person that's dramatically different, have them survive this life nearly what you would call a near-death experience. And so now the things that they thought were going to make them happy, you know, I got to get home and I got to watch this Disney movie, or I got to have all these friends on Facebook, or I have to do all of these things and have all of these friends and I got to have a girlfriend or a boyfriend. I got to be able to do these things. And when they're faced with life and death, all that stuff just goes away. And they get down to brass tacks and they begin to see, well, you know what? All that stuff really isn't that big of a deal, because, you know, when it really counted, none of that stuff really mattered to me. I didn't really care if I had 789 friends on Facebook. It was actually really irrelevant. Or if I Snapchatted for 4 hours today. And that's quite an accomplishment, considering that's only, what, 14 seconds or whatever it is, time, 9 seconds, whatever it is. I don't use it. I communicate. I prefer the face-to-face or the over-the-air type thing like this, like we're doing here. And so what I really want you to do is think about the things that would make you happy. What would really change things today? What would really change things tomorrow? Because what you're going to find is, It's the things that are happening today, not in the future, that'll either make you happy or sad or angry or frustrated or whatever. And so those are the things that we need to understand and deal with. And those are the things that really need to be looked at so that we can really actually get to this thing called happiness. Now, if it's one thing I know people hate, it's Monday mornings. Why? Because Monday's bad? No, because we're going back to work, which might mean I need to do something different. My job stinks, and so I really need to do something different. The desire for more money, you know, getting to that place where you make more money isn't going to make you happy. It's what that money will bring, and it may not even be stuff. It may just be freedom. It may be a lack of stress because now I don't have to worry about paying these bills or doing these things. So it's not that. In fact, let's stop here for just a second so that I can get you to see a little bit of what I'm looking at. What I want you to begin to understand is that the happiness is, it's not just in the journey, because that's super cliche. It is found in the journey, but it's not the journey itself, because you're already on one and you're not happy. And so the journey is not the happiness. But you, if you're going to be happy, it's better to be happy today than it is in a month or a year or 10 years or 20 years when you retire or when you get married or when you get divorced or when you whatever, have kids or don't have kids, or they move out or they move in or whatever the case is. All that stuff, that's this mindset of I'll be happy when. That's, throw that out. That's garbage. Don't worry about that because it's not true. It's a complete lie. It's a total fallacy and it doesn't work. So what we need to look at is how do we get happy today? So when a person says, I'd be happy if I could lose 25 pounds, you probably would be. But then you'd be 10 times more sad if you gained that back plus another 5 or 10. So isn't the thing that would really make you happy the ability to control the things that make your weight out of control? You say, I'd be happy if I had $1 million in the bank. Well, let's say you had the ability. If you went back and you said, if I didn't spend money on these things, I'd have a lot more money in the bank. So isn't the reality, if I had more control over my finances, I'd be a happy camper. And so obviously the mindset of these things, of how we view diet and exercise and money and budgets and all of these different things, and I'm not talking about just being more organized, although that would probably bring less stress too, but it's these processes that we don't like, and it's the way that we look at them. And we know that we should do them, but there's stuff about them and the way that we view these things that prevents us from really getting in and digging in and doing them. Because ultimately, it's going to be painful. There's so much information to go through. I don't want to balance my checkbook. I don't want to file every single paper that comes in the mail. I don't want to do all of these different things. And so obviously, we have to look at what we're doing a little bit differently. Because we're looking for things to make us happy as if we have no responsibility over them. Happy when I get to this car. Or as if when we get to a certain age, we should automatically have it. When I get 16 and get a driver's license, I should be able to have a car. Well, that's great, but it may not be reality. It hasn't been for any of my kids. Or maybe it's by the time I'm 30, I should be married. Why? Says who? Well, that's socially, that's the way things are. Okay, well, so is more than 50% divorce rate. Is that really what you want to base your happiness on? Obviously, there are some people that are looking at it differently, which caused them to be more successful in it. Now, how about this? Instead of looking at being married by the time you're 30, maybe you could say, you know what? When I get married, I want to have a successful marriage. I wonder what it takes to do that. And then you could take your time, your attention, your talents, your mentality, focus, and you can talk to people that you, in your mind, they have the kind of marriage you want, and they have the kind of longevity that you're looking for. They have those things. And so now life becomes about finding things out, unlocking secrets, I guess they would be, you know, things that you just don't know. Finding them out, discovery is what it becomes. Or let's say you really have to lose 30 pounds or 50 pounds or even 100 pounds. And you go, well, you know, I don't want to just, you know, white knuckle it through 100 pounds. That would be just like a fate worse than death. So rather than do that, let's turn it into a type of discovery. And we're not talking games here. We're talking a different way of looking at things so that way our mentality can actually aid us in getting to where we're wanting to be. And then we don't have to wait until we get to something. I'll be happier when I lose 50 pounds. Well, you know what? You'll be happier that you know how to get there and that you have the ability to put it into practice. But see, we want that instant gratification is what's causing it. It's what's causing happiness to be so fleeting. Or I'll be happy when. As if that point is just going to arrive magically. And it doesn't. And so what do we do? How do we change things? How do we look at things differently? Well, first of all, if you've ever had one of those magic moments where you're going through something, and I'll give you an example. There are times when there are parts of my job that I just really hate. I have customers that are awesome, and I have customers, in 5 years plus, I've had a couple that really stink. And in the process of dealing with some of these customers that just, I mean, they're just miserable people. And there's nothing you can say to them. I've tried it all. I mean, I've won over people throughout 5 years. People that started off, for whatever reason, they weren't liking the company. They weren't liking the service. They weren't liking the product. They weren't liking the time that I got there or the time that I left. There's always something. And over a period of months or years, I was able to win people over to my side and to like me, even if they don't like the company or there's other stuff that they don't like because that's just the way they're going to be. I can get to a place where I can kind of break through and establish a level of relationship there. Well, there's a couple of people that I've never been able to do that with, or they're new to the scene and they're really terrible people. And the workers that have been there and they have this new manager and the manager is awful. And they're like, oh, I can't wait to get out of here. This person is so miserable. They're just dragging down the whole team. And so I would run into problems that were not all that difficult to solve, but because I hated to be there and I just wanted to get out, it just seemed like the most difficult thing to overcome that there was. And then this person that I didn't particularly care for, didn't like, I mean, it wasn't that I didn't like her, it's just she made it extremely difficult, came up with the simplest solution. And then there's other times where you have to do things with your kids or your spouse or something, and you're happy to be with them, you just don't want to be doing that activity at this point. You're kind of doing it because they want to. And you're like, no, let's just be done with this and go home. I'm like, no, all we have to do is this and everything will be fine. And then it actually works. The problem is actually solved and it was very simple. And in your mind, you're thinking, well, why didn't I think of that? And the reality was you didn't really want to be there to begin with. And so what has begun to happen as a result of several of these experiences is I have begun to look at things rather than focusing on how much I don't want to be there. I mean, there's one person that I can think of, and I deal with them on Mondays. I won't for a little while now because, they're on some kind of break, whatever that is. And so I won't have to deal with them for a while, and that brings a sense of relief. But, I mean, it was to the point where it was like, ugh, I dread going there because I know she's going to be on the warpath. She always is. You know, I get there, and customers, like, run out of the building. Not my customers, but her employees literally just do everything they can to get out of the building for a little bit. And they're like, oh, I'm assisting with this with the guy that's here, with the vendor. Okay, great. Now what do I do? Now I have to deal with this person. I actually have to get them to sign paperwork and stuff. And it's a huge headache. And so what I began to do was I began to think about how in the world can I deal with this to where every time she has an issue, I have an answer. And so I can do for her what she did for me, which is take this negative situation, and she may never see it. She may be just so caught up in her misery and in reality. And I've been around her enough to know that at this point in time, there is something going on, and I don't know what it is. I don't think it has anything to do with me. I mean, didn't know each other before, just 4 or 5 months ago. So there's nothing that I could have done that would have made this level of vitriol come out of her, because I don't have it with people I've dealt with for years and years. And so I put that out, is there something that I did that I could maybe make right or something? No, it's not that. It is definitely this person. I've talked to other people. They say, yeah, I have a customer here, a customer there, the same way. But what if you know, every time they came out and said, well, I hate this, and this is wrong, and you have to do this. Okay, but it's a simple thing. It's just this. All we have to do is this. The whole problem's gone. And get her to see her colossal overreaction has nothing to do with me. And here's what I'm wondering. Is it because the situation that you're in has made you so miserable that you feel like there's no way out of it? And this lack of control is enormous in being unhappy because you just want this situation to go away. And what I want you to see, especially in your professional life or in your family, there could be a person in your family or in your professional life who, let's just call it what it is. They might just be a complete idiot. And there's no way to reason with them. And there's no way to do any of the, there's no way to really fix the situation. So I want to present one thing that may give you a certain ability with them to at least shut them up. And then here's what you're going to find out. When you have that ability, you're going to see that how amazing it is for you to be able to take control of a situation with a person who is not controllable. Oh, all this has to go over there. No, it doesn't. All we have to do is this because this is what we're looking for. No, I want this. Okay, but that's not reality. All we have to do to fix this problem is this, and it's done. It's solved. Now, they're going to continue to look for ways to be miserable because that's just what they do. Now, and understand this too. Please keep this in mind. You are not going to run into very many people like this unless maybe you're a nurse at a nursing home or something like that. A CNA may run into people like that. You know, I've got a cousin of mine, and I know some other people that are CNAs or nurses or LPNs, and they talk about, especially working in some of the nursing homes or people with Alzheimer's or something like that, some of them become wonderful. Others become horrible, and they still have to deal with them. They still have to take care of them. There's still all of these rules and regulations that they have to do as far as their patient care is concerned, and there's really nothing you can do with that. But to the degree that we can fix it, here's what I want you to do. In the middle of a situation that for you is miserable, I want you to step out of the mind processing the misery and all the different ways it's miserable and all the different ways it really stinks and all the different ways you wish it would be done and you could go off and do these other things. And think, how can I solve this problem? What's the biggest problem and how can I solve it? There very well could be a way. There may even be an easy way. There may be no way. You know, I'm a firm believer in some customers are better left to other people because they're just that much trouble. They're just not worth, you know, whatever you're getting, you can't bridge the gap. You can't establish the relationship. You can't help the person. You can't, there's just nothing you can do for them. And they're miserable, and they complain, and they're going to do nothing but badmouth you. They would be better off with somebody else. And you'll run into that a few times in your career. Maybe a little bit more than that, maybe a little bit less than that. But generally speaking, 3 to 5 times in your career, you'll run into some garbage like that. And if you're running into it more than that, then really analyze if what you're doing is really worth it to you. And if you have a specialty of dealing with that kind of person, God bless you. I'll tell you what, because that's no joke. But step back and just really see if there's a problem that you can solve. Even if it's not the biggest problem, is there something that you can solve? And does that in turn begin to set the wheels in motion instead of processing the negativity of the situation to begin to process the reality of, hey, there may be an answer for this. I wonder if I could do this in that situation. I wonder if I could do that in that situation. And if you're not sure, talk to a boss. Is there anything wrong with doing this here? I know I have to do these things, but is there anything wrong with doing this? I mean, if the customer gets upset that I did this, would you be mad? You know, talk to your wife or talk to one of your kids. Okay, I know you don't like this situation, but what if we did this? And then just see what happens. See if maybe you can gain a little bit of control over that situation by exposing the amount of negativity that's in the other person in a positive way so that they can see it. Because it's not going to do any good. I mean, you could walk in there and call them a nasty name, but ultimately, what's that going to solve? It may get you fired, but in all reality, what are you really going to gain from all of that? And I'm, you know, in having conversations with people, if you, and this is one of the conversations, in fact, we were in a meeting one time, and one of the other guys that I work with said, well, what if I swear back at the customer? The customer starts cursing me out, and I curse back at him. And the boss said, you'll be looking for another job. And And that was the reality of it. It was just cut and dry, black and white, that's it. And so in reality, I mean, if you say something terrible to them, they're going to be just as miserable as they were before. In fact, they're going to have fun now because now they get to do it at your expense. And then they get to call your boss and pretend like they're Mr. Wonderful or Mrs. Wonderful. And you're this big giant jerk that's causing them all this misery. And we're not going to give them that ability. And so you can come in, and this is the best. In fact, this is the best way to set that up. They come in and they complain about something tiny, and they make a huge mountain out of this thing. You walk in, you go, all you have to do is this, and don't even wait for a response. Just turn around, walk out, and go back and do, you know, go and do something else, or you know, say, yeah, I got to go grab this. I'll be right back, and come back with something. Literally, even if it's a piece of paper or something, a pen. I had to go get a pen. Just turn around and walk out, and go grab your pen, and come back. Yeah, I had to get a pen. And leave them to think about how ridiculous they look. And if it can happen in the presence of other people, you may be able to spark something to where this occurs in front of her staff or that person's staff, so that way it can become something that they implement. Somebody may catch it. And then they're going to make this miserable person really miserable because they're not going to be able to give their misery away. Yeah, all you have to do is this and it's over. No. You understand. All you have to do is this, and it's over. And then you turn around and walk away. But here's the bottom line. Here's the big takeaway. One of the reasons you're unhappy, well, here's two reasons. Number one, because you're looking for some point down in the future to make you happy. That's not going to work. Number two, you have no control over your current situation. You have to go and see this miserable person. You have to look at yourself when you're getting ready in the morning and you're not happy with what you're looking at in the mirror and you don't have any control to make that change. That's part of what my website is about. I mean, exercise, nutrition, all that kind of stuff. You get control of your eating habits. You get control of all that stuff. And that's what these podcasts are here for. That's what the website is for. That's what the email is for. That's what the programs are for. They're to help you get control of those things. They're to help you see things differently, like Hardcore 4. You're not going to get sore and lose your mind trying to do it because it's not a 45-minute workout. You don't have to get broke. I think it's $19. And if you want my personal help, it's $29. And then you get it like, I don't remember what it is, 2 or 3 hours for a month. And you get to, you know, you can shoot me emails back and forth. I think there's even some stuff where we can actually talk over the computer face to face and, you know, shoot those questions. How do I see this differently? How do I get through that? I really struggle with this. That's the kind of stuff I love to deal with because see, the physical stuff, it's important. But it's certainly not everything. It's a small component of it. Basically, it's a reflection of what's going on inside. And so if there's something out of control, if we can see it differently, we can change it. And so if your finances are out of control, obviously saving money, stopping spending, all that stuff, that's painful. And so we have to kind of see things a little bit different. We have to begin to see that rather than having out of control finances, you know, and seeing them as something that brings us pleasure, we can begin to see that we can use it for much bigger things than just bringing a little bit of temporary pleasure and a whole lot of misery the last week or two of the month. So we can use that as leverage to gain things that will actually bring us more happiness, like peace of mind, stress-free, pay for the kids' college, you know, all that kind of stuff. Pay off some bills that, you know, we don't have to think about anymore. This stuff is gone. You know, all that type of stuff. And so having control and looking at being able to solve problems on a daily basis and not looking at those things as overwhelming, overwhelming, overwhelming. And I'll tell you what, you know, I was a single dad for almost 5 years and until I remarried. And there would be times where I'd get so little sleep, it didn't really matter what happened. It was overwhelming. And so there's a couple of things that I've learned to do. Number one, I've learned to take certain things a little less seriously. Number two, I've learned that just because the kids or somebody or the boss or somebody else wants something doesn't mean it's that big of a deal to me. There are times when I just say, you know what, you're going to have to find somebody else. You know, I just had to do that the other day. Hey, Brent, we'd like you to do this. I don't have time for that. I have kids to go pick up. Well, we'd really like you to. I understand that. It doesn't change what I just said. You know, I'd love to help, but I can't. I've got kids to pick up. You know, their school is getting out earlier at this point. I've got stuff that I have to do. I can't put it off. It's more important than that. That's not part of what I normally do. That's going to be for these guys over here whose job it actually is to do that. And guess what? That's exactly what happened. And if they say, I insist, you go, well, okay, wonderful, but it's still not going to happen. I still have things to do. And it, you know, as long as you do it respectfully and matter-of-factly, then, you know, there's not a whole lot they can say, because ultimately, if it isn't your job to do it, then you can kind of, you know, brush that off and go on about your business. And once in a while, I have to do that, but I try not to do it a ton. And some of that's just timing and all of that, too. That's just a work-related thing. But we have to come to a place where we're willing to see things differently, and we want... See, what we're looking at here is, if we're going to have long-term happiness, we have to look things long-term, and we have to look at them and understand what's occurring in the short-term so that we can create the environment that we want that's ultimately going to bring us the realities that we're looking for long-term. And by that, I mean, if you are living for the moment, you're probably doing it wrong. It's not going to bring you long-term what you're looking for. It will bring you short-term happiness. I really want to spend this money. I really want to eat out. I really want to whatever. If you can say no to that for a little while, you'll have more money in the bank. You'll have more peace of mind. You'll write that check out, or you'll send that bill electronically. You know, you'll pay it online, and you'll still have some money left over to put in your car or whatever you're going to do. And having that control, having that reality of, man, I'm actually responsible. I'm actually making the adjustments that I need to make on the fly in order to have the control of the situation all the way through the month. That will bring you a serious level of satisfaction. Wow, I can actually help my kid with school. I can, you know, with college, or I can actually, whatever the case is, I can send this person on a missionary trip or something like that. We were able to do that a couple of times also. And but the reality becomes, when you're looking at what is bringing you happiness, for me, I would love to be able to get up later on Monday morning. I would love to have a little bit more free time. I'd love to have something that wasn't as involved and required as much effort and mental ability as what I currently do does. And a little bit more freedom, less stress. And so now guess what I do? Guess what you do? You take your brain, you take your time, you take your effort, you take your mentality, and you begin to figure out ways to change your current situation into what it is that would actually make you happy, because you've sat down to think about it. And yes, will there be some short-term pain? Yeah, probably a little bit. Probably a little bit. But when you begin to understand what's making you happy, you get more control, not less. And that control brings the satisfaction. See, we're not just looking for happiness. We need to have a level of control. If you take a person that's complete, their life is totally out of control, I will show you somebody who's really miserable and got some serious problems on their hands. And that's the kind of thing that we're all trying to avoid. We don't want that. And so what I'm asking you to do is understand, hey, you know what? This is going to be a bit of a process. You know, I want to be able to get my wife some nicer things. I want to be able to pay more toward my son's college. I want to be able to have more free time with my family. I want to work a few less hours. I want to work less hard. And so I'm beginning to look at all that I have in front of me with, you know, time, money, priorities, all that kind of stuff. And it's okay that it takes a little time to go through it. Hey, at some point in time, you're going to be through it. You're going to be able to sit down and say, I want these things. I want to be able to do this stuff. I want to have a little more time off from work, or I want to be able to do something that doesn't require so much of my time and my effort and my money. And so you make those things happen, and there is a much deeper sense than just happiness. It's satisfaction, it's fulfillment, it's, you know that you've made some of these things happen because you've made conscious choices to make them happen. And they're better than, I got to go out to eat today. They're so much deeper, they're so much better. But you've got to put off, you got to have not such a micro view of life. It's got to be more macro, it's got to be more bigger picture. And it's got to be more, we have to sit down and use our assets, you know, what we have, what we possess, with purpose. And that's what is going to get you ultimately to where you wanted to be. And so, you know what, that's it, guys. That's all. I mean, I have more, but I did 30 minutes here on Memorial Day weekend, and I hope you all have a great Memorial Day weekend. And we're going to get out of here with some more Will Smith, and I will see you next time. Bring it. Oh, God.
What? On your mark, ready, set, let's go. Dance floor.